This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to get an update on Glide Revitalization. The Executive Director, Jenna Beam, and along with Kayla Griffiths as well. Jenna, what is going on out there? Busy year for Glide.
Yeah, it really has been. We've been working a lot on developing new programs and working with new partners. We just launched our mitigation program, working with DFPA, Oregon State Fire Marshal, and Glide Fire to help provide defensible space around homes within the county.
And talk about, I mean, defensible space, and it's, you know, it's a topic we talk about a lot. And maybe somebody would think, gosh, so much got burned. Is there anything, you know, that you have to worry about? But yet some of this has regrown, and you've got areas that weren't impacted by the fire that really probably do need some cleanup.
Yeah, it's a big problem in our area too, because everything grows so well. We get so much rain and sunshine that all your blackberry, your brush, all the stuff that you don't want around your house grows like crazy. So on top of the areas that were burned and all that's regrowing, we also want to make sure that everybody within city limits and everywhere else is also paying attention to that, you know, 200-foot defensible space.
So Matt, let's back up a minute and maybe explain to people just what Glide Revitalization is all about and how long it's been around.
So Glide Revitalization was established in 2014, and it was a group of people very focused on building economic growth within the community, as well as providing like some open spaces, possibly a park. And when the Archie fire happened in 2020, that all shifted into working on the long-term recovery for the area. So since then, we've been very involved in casework and trying to get homes back. And now we're starting to be able to shift our focus a little bit more and go back to the original goals of the organization.
We're going to talk more about the recovery from the fire in a bit. What about in terms of the organization? I know your role shifted a ways back. Talk about that.
Yeah, so a while back we sat down and kind of went back to the drawing board on what we needed for positions, and we had a natural transition with Kendall and myself, and I became executive director, and Kendall's now our program director.
And so was that meaning more work for you?
Always. No matter what I do, it seems like it's always more work.
And how many other folks do you have working with you?
We have a total of 5 full-time right now.
And where do you get the funding for all this?
We do a lot of grant funding for the programs. Each program has a specific budget set into it for staffing, as well as the casework is a state contract.
And I know that I think the last time we talked, you were talking about one of the facilities being used for childcare?
Yeah, so we've been partnered with UCAN for the last 2 years to provide Preschool Promise in the building we're in now. So they have, I believe it's 15 kids enrolled this year, and potentially spots for up to 17. And then we are almost done with the licensure process to open a small daycare room.
And talk about the need for daycare for people around Glide.
Well, everything around Glide right now is in home care. So we're trying to provide a space where we can get more spaces available, as well as potentially partnering with UCAN or the Head Start program to provide more preschool spaces.
And I would imagine for people that live out there, I mean, if you've got younger kids, it's kind of a big deal if you can't find daycare out there, because that's then suddenly you're making 2 trips a day to Roseburg or something.
Yeah, especially for people that work out there. There's a lot more people that work out there than is realized, and most of those people have to drop their kids off in Roseburg. So it's a big benefit to have it close to home.
So let's talk more about the fire victims from Archie Creek, and it was well over 100 homes that were lost in that, a lot of people's lives uprooted. How do you feel like people are doing 3 years later?
I think it's still a work in progress. We sat down the other day to look at kind of hard numbers and how do you measure success with this, right? You lost over 110 homes, like you said, and we know that 110 homes haven't been rebuilt. So how do we measure whether or not this has been successful? Originally, we had 216 people that applied for assistance. Out of that 216, some of those ended up not having significant losses or were fully insured. But out of those, 180 have received financial assistance in some form from us at this point. So everybody that's reached out has gotten that. On top of that, we just finished putting two mobile homes in, and we're working with Habitat for Humanity to build another house. So our best estimate is 30% of the houses have now either been repaired or rebuilt, but then a lot of people also left the area, or it was a second home that they've decided not to rebuild.
Yeah, and that's been the interesting part, because we've got this housing shortage. So people were looking for places to live, and I know you had people in motels for a very long time.
We did. And in fact, Jackson and Josephine County have probably been one of the harder hit areas with that. They still have fire survivors in temporary housing. Our last person, and we only had one person that was kind of a holdover, was moved out of temporary housing in November of 2021.
And even a year is a long time to be in some temporary state. The people that have not decided to rebuild, I mean, are people selling land or a lot of those renters? Or
it's a pretty big mix across the board. I could go into all the statistics, but I would need a lot more paper in front of me to tell you all that off the top of my head. But we had a lot of renters, we had a lot of people with second homes, and a lot of those have decided to either sell the land or they're just kind of in a holding pattern. We found that too with some of the people on rebuilding. If you go up on the properties with some of the survivors, there's still a little bit of shell shock. They aren't sure and they aren't ready to make a decision yet.
And you've got infrastructure that probably in a lot of cases needs to be dealt with in terms of water lines and various things like that.
Yeah, almost everybody, well, everybody in those areas would have been on wells or had holding tanks, and all of that was destroyed. Even the wells, they went back and they're no longer have water. So we've put a lot of funding towards getting wells replaced, and a lot of the septic and sewer systems that were in place were done before the new license, like codes were in place, and now people are having a hard time qualifying to put that stuff back on their property.
And I would think as well that for some people, maybe depending on the location, coming back when you are, you know, you remember the view you had and all the trees and everything that was around. And one area I went by last year, there was a nice home that had been rebuilt, but it to me, it looked like it was on the moon. I mean, things had just changed so much.
It has. In fact, the first few times I went up there, it's not even recognizable. Even now, like up Rock Creek specifically, it doesn't look the way it did the whole time I was growing up. And I can't imagine living there the number of years most of these families did, and then looking out and not. It's like a constant reminder of what happened, right? Everything you lost. And I think that's influenced some people's decision not to rebuild.
So have you guys been involved then in kind of the mental health side of all this?
We have, and we continue to talk about it now. We actually were just talking the other day about whether or not it's needed to start a group thing again. We've had some people talk about wanting a spot where they could get together with other people that had the same loss and just talk about how they're feeling about it now.
Yeah, I would think that would be a tough thing to, not only your loss, you've really lost your entire community.
Yes.
And so going forward with that, talk about some of the other things that you guys are working on right now.
We just launched our fire mitigation program. We talked a little bit about that. We're continuing to work with the daycare and childcare, and we are starting to get a lot more involved in community programs. And as far as that, it's not just community programs, it's also events and ways we can become more active in the community. And Kayla, who actually has come on staff for us on a part-time basis, is handling that part of it for us.
All right, and we're going to talk with Kayla and more when we get back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1244 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio ahead at 4 o'clock. On tomorrow's program, State Representative Christine Goodwin will be on Inside Douglas County talking about Glide Revitalization. Executive Director Jenna Beam in with us. And part of this segment now, we're talking with Kayla Griffith, who is working on events for Glide. Let's back up and talk about the big one over the summer, the Sasquatch Festival. How'd that go?
Oh my gosh. We thought that last year was an overwhelming success. This year just blew that out of the water. We had roughly 4,500 people come that day. We had a line from our front gate to 138 of people just waiting to get in when we opened at noon. You know, there were multiple vendors who set record-breaking days for their businesses. Everything was just an overwhelming success, and it took us a few days to come down from that high because it was, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're going to outdo that.
Well, I remember, you know, the weather was really good that day, but there were other things happening around the area as well, and I headed out there, I think, mid-afternoon, and the first thing I noticed was, gosh, there's a lot of people coming out here.
Yeah, that bridge really did us in, but you know what? It didn't stop them. So we did have a point. So they've been working on that Glide Bridge since June, and it's actually going to be tying up here pretty soon. So luckily, we won't have that obstacle next year. But yeah, we had people waiting 45, 50 minutes to get into our festival. And again, that was, you know, ODOT there. They came out and they sent someone out to fix the timing on the light so the people weren't waiting as long. So about 4:30, 5 o'clock, all of that got fixed and we still had the second half of our festival.
Well, some people were smart enough to know the sort of the escape route around the edge of town.
The glide loop.
And I figured it out by the time I got up to the line and saw these cars. And I'm like, oh, wait a second. If I would have turned, mm-hmm. Great. How many years have I lived here? But it just didn't, you know, come to me originally.
It didn't register, yeah.
And there was a point there where I'd waited for a little while, and I've got air conditioning, and I'm fine. But it's like, I've also got a bunch of other things to do later in the day. And I thought, no, it's like, no, I'm waiting this out. I'm going to
see what we've been talking
about.
I'm going
to know exactly how long it takes to get here. Obviously brought in a lot of people from out of the area. Talk about some of the folks that were there.
Yeah, so we had Dr. Jeff Meldrum come in, and he's from Pocatello, and he's a world-renowned author and speaker, and has given speeches on Bigfoot and the biological evidence of it for decades now. We also had Scott and Hannah Violet come from the east side of Oregon. We had multiple vendors. We had some vendors come down from Washington. We had actually an attendee come from Canada. We had attendees coming from Bend. We had vendors from Medford. But I would say probably 80% of our vendors were local. So it was a huge boost for our local economy. And I know while waiting in that line, you saw how busy 138, Coho, and the Atom were, you know, feeding all those people that were either waiting to get into the festival or making their way back home. And they, you know, that's what it's about right there is, you know, not just the festival, but building up the community around it.
So what was kind of the original idea of doing the festival to begin with?
I think it was just a niche, really. It was like, how can we bring everyone together and not let it be polarizing? You know what I mean? So we live at the base of the Umpqua National Forest, and, well, he's our neighbor. You know, he's just next door. He's up the road a little bit. And it's just something, someone either has an experience or a thought about Bigfoot. And so we've taken that, and we've played it up, and you know, there's a huge Sasquatch Bigfoot community that some people aren't aware of, and we've already started booking talent for next year.
Well, you know, we had your first speaker in on Inside Douglas County the day before, I think, or a couple days before, and you know, with a long list of credentials,
yes.
You know, for people who thought, okay, this guy is out in left field when he started, you know, talking about the academic background that he had mm-hmm. and the research he had done. A lot of people commented that kind of shifted their thought about, they weren't totally convinced, but this guy was, you know.
He was giving them facts. And it's hard to, you know, debate with someone who's got years, decades of experience in the, you know, the academic world with that is just like, well, this is happening. And you know what was really great about Dr. Meldrum is he's like, that's great for you, but I've seen it. You know, I've seen the evidence. And Scott, he came in and he's had life experiences, and it was a really fun day.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people, like you said, if they're not aware of it, I mean, the folks that came over from Baker City, I mean, that's part of a big organization that's really well known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Squatch America, they just really came in and showed up, and, you know, then they had their event a couple weeks later, and it was successful for them, and they plan on coming back next year.
So are you planning to do this again?
Oh, heck yes. We've already got a date. It's going to be July 20th next year. Same hours, still a single day event. However, we're looking and we're asking the community for a little bit of feedback. We want to add something every year. And the two things that we have on our list are either a live log carving competition or, you know, a fun like color run for the family. And so like a Sasquatch shuffle per se. And so we're trying to get some feedback from the community and see what they would really like to see next year.
So if somebody has ideas, where do they send them?
Social media, so our Facebook or Instagram, and we do have our website, which is glidesasquatchfestival.com.
So, and that's a totally separate site from the Glide Revitalization
yes.
site.
Mm-hmm. It's got its own home.
So talk about other events that you're planning.
So like Gina had mentioned, I have come on part-time as their community outreach and engagement coordinator. And so basically what I'm doing is trying to come up with ideas for the community of Glide and anything around it to come together. And so right now we're working on a small haunted house in the building that they purchased last year. And so we are going to do a small haunted house on October 27th and 28th from 5 to 10 p.m. It's going to be a $5 admission. And we have the Glide High School boys soccer team and the drama club coming out to help us with that. It's going to be a good time.
And so is this something all ages to come? Or
yes, it'll be family friendly. There's going to be a small trunk or treat. But like I said, yes, it's for all ages.
And do you have other events that you're looking at down the horizon?
So we're looking at a New Year's surprise. We still have to figure out the logistics and make sure that we can pull the trigger on that. But yeah, so keep your eyes peeled for a New Year's event. And then also we are brainstorming and going back and forth between a spring fundraiser, which would be a golf tournament, or a fishing tournament. And so we're looking for feedback from the community on whether, you know, which one do they want to see? They want to see another golf tournament, or you want to see something a little new and off the cuff?
Well, and it does occur to me there is a river there in your
area. Yeah, we have a couple of rivers and, you know, a lake, and, you know, there's just a few things around
that might
we could dabble in.
Yeah, that might sway the direction of your thoughts.
Yeah, I know they're like, oh, well, we could fish on Saturday and golf on Sunday. We could do both. I'm not doing both, though.
So what else are you doing with the organization?
Mostly that's it, but I've also been working on a lot of the marketing and PR and just making sure that the public knows exactly what Glide Rev is and what they stand for, you know, just making sure that they know that they can come to the organization with any needs or helps or wants or even ideas for the organization on how we can help the community.
And what do you see as the long-term impact of this organization being?
I think we're really going to see a shift in Glide as far as like community involvement. And, you know, I feel like the fire, it momentarily brought us all together, but then there a lot of polarizing things happened since that. And so I think that we're going to see it come back together, and it's just going to be a community again. And I'm not saying that it's not a community now, but I want to see that strengthen.
So, Jenna, as we wrap up real quick, if people want to find out more information about your organization, talk about what's on your website.
So we have our website at gliderevitalization.com. We also have a ton of information out on social media. The mitigation stuff can be found on the website. And currently we're working on redoing all of it. We're looking at a friendlier, easier used website, and so that'll be coming out soon as well.
All right, Jenna Beam and Kayla Griffiths from Glide Revitalization, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.